The following is brought to you in association with and as a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
This episode of Neckbreaker is officially brought to you by our friends over at ClickItTicket.com. They have tickets for thousands of events, including Judas Priest, WWE, Phantom of the Opera, Cats, NFL games, and even past alumni Andrew WK.
ClickItTicket.com is proud to offer our listeners a 5% discount off any ticket purchase. Just Google ClickItTicket, check out their selection, and add our exclusive discount code NECKBREAKER at checkout.
One more time, Google ClickItTicket, add some tickets to your cart, and enter the code NECKBREAKER at checkout for your 5% discount. And now, enjoy the show. You're listening to part 3 of 4 Full Terror Assault themed episodes of Neckbreaker. I'm your host, Brian Thompson. We hope you enjoy parts 1 and 2, and definitely stick around for part 4 in a little bit, because all of these come together and you're going to hear cross-connecting stories and all that other good shit. I'm already talking way too much on this intro. This is part 3. We have a very awesome pro wrestling panel with the dudes in Iron Reagan / Cannabis Corpse. Our friends Landfill and Tom and Justin, they all came out just to talk pro wrestling, and no metal interview on that one, just straight up wrestling talk, and maybe we push some releases at the end. Later, we also do, get this, we did an entire panel dedicated to John Cena. We interviewed the dudes in Black Fast, we met some good friends in a band called Get Ignorant, and we even hosted a Metal Archives album rating game. All right, let's get to it. Stick around.
When did you first hear about the man they call Vader?
Probably when he was playing football for the San Diego Chargers, man. And he won that Super Bowl.
Is that true, John?
I think it's the St. Louis Rams, but...
You're right, St. Louis Rams. Chargers, Rams. Like, the logo looks similar. It's very curved.
Yes.
You know
yes.
I mean? Yeah, when he was, yeah, he was just spreading Rocky Mountain mud all over the fucking field.
Yeah,
man. It was like really,
I do.
It was really cool.
I must be living under a rock. I didn't know Vader won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, dude.
Well, if you search Leon White on the internet for Super Bowl champion, there's another one too that I was on a different team. Like, oh man, Jim Ross lied, but Jim Ross didn't lie. If you dig a little deeper, it says it. So there's two Leon Whites with Super Bowl rings. So the internet fucking tricked me for a little while. And then I thought Jim Ross was a liar for like a decade.
We were just talking about what an honor it was for Damian Sandow to get powerbombed by Vader. On the old school Raw, they brought out Vader big as a house still. I think
still
I saw a picture
good.
Of him about 70 years old. Still,
was that
like,
the one where he tripped coming down the ring? The
maybe. maybe he did.
He might have.
My favorite thing about Vader was the fact that like sometimes he would wear his outfit right and then sometimes he'd put it on backwards.
My least favorite thing about Vader is that he had a mask versus mask match, even though he took his mask off every other match before that. And then he said bullshit on pay-per-view when I was like 13.
Oh,
so I thought,
yeah.
Oh, himself
cool.
A big fat piece
yes,
of shit.
That's one of my favorite promos of all time when he's getting out of the ring and he's all dejected because he lost.
Yeah,
and
he lost the cane.
He's like, maybe Vader time's over.
So, I'm not but a big piece
he's
of
like,
shit.
No, Vader time ain't over.
So
don't
sad.
Say that.
See, I love when he came out with two masks, right? So he had that big, like...
The big fucking...
The big,
yeah.
Yeah, it was
Antonio
just, like,
Inoki made that
statue
for him, yeah.
That he just decided that he wanted to take, you know, the bust of it. And he put it on, you know, smoke came out of it and everything. You're like, oh, what's this guy going to look like when he takes this thing off? And it's just, he has another mask, so you never really knew.
But yeah, it was like, pretty scary looking though when he's coming down the aisle and he had the steam coming out of this giant
the big van.
Yeah, it was
the crowds
awesome.
Were like dispersed. They didn't want to. They thought he was going to eat them or something.
I would have gotten out of his way.
You were just
sure.
Talking about with him in Cactus Jack. That's we overheard it.
Oh
like,
god!
When you talk about when he broke his nose and you could hear it on the video.
I was talking about how stiff the shots were to.
Yeah.
Mick Foley and those, you know, and when he's against the turnbuckle, just jacking him so hard.
Yeah, the one of the Mick Foley DVDs that came out, he took the footage from his personal collection. You can hear his fucking nose break on the video.
Yeah,
so
that
gross.
Rules.
Yeah.
Was he in a match with Vader in Germany when he actually lost his ear?
Yep. Correct.
When he tried to do that spot, like hanging through the ropes.
Yeah,
right?
It's all Scorpio's fault.
Also,
big son of a bitch.
Stan Hansen punched out Vader's eye in Japan.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, the socket
and
came out.
And he put it back in.
He just put it right back in.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he?
That spot that Mick Foley would do where he would wrap his head around the ropes and spin to the outside and be hanging
Paris, you know. From
yeah,
the
someone tightened
thing.
The ropes before yeah. the matches started.
They're German fucking.
They're
Nazi
elevator
cables
yeah. most yeah. of the time, right? It's like, yeah, let's just use that. That's yeah. good enough.
Dude, his, the Foley Michaels match at whatever in your house, that was like.
Mind games?
Yeah, right. That, I mean, I just remember like the camera work on that particular spot when he went through the ropes. That like really, that really drove the whole point home, man. He was like, he was just so good at getting across how much of a maniac.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Wait, we didn't even get you guys' names. Brian, Chris, and John.
All right, I'm Justin.
Justin, nice to, nice to meet you.
Man, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
How's it going? Hey, I'm
Tom. Tom.
What's going on?
Nice to meet you, Tom.
We're really doing
I'm
this.
Phil.
Nice
you're a bumper. What's going on, Phil?
I play in two of the bands that are performing today.
Oh, Obituary no and
no, not about Wish. I love Obituary.
I'm just talking about
but no, Cannabis Corpse and Iron Reagan.
Yes, we're here at Full Terror Assault, and we're talking metal and wrestling. But let's talk more wrestling. We're gonna be hearing metal for two more days. So, Vader. How about that? When Vader powerbombed Cactus on the concrete, or even those Foley bumps that he would use to
yeah,
take
the
STIs.
He was trying to retire. Yeah. And yeah. he was like kind of upset that Vader didn't hit him hard enough to retire him.
I think Cactus probably just wanted that WCW contract or whatever the, you know, money he can get from that.
No, it
just
was,
be able to
it
retire
was,
there,
it was the
know?
Lloyds of London insurance scam that all the wrestlers used to do in the 90s.
Oh, God.
Less sexily, how good was Harley Race? That goddamn Jerry curl.
Harley Race had the best tattoos, like brutal prison-looking tattoos, just like, you know. I oh, liked, yeah. Harley Race looked like a fucking gnarly dude.
They don't make men like that. No. They really don't.
Harley Race was a grandpa at age 25.
But we were talking about Foley, and I wanted to bring something up. There's a little lost tidbit of Foley career history where he was on Celebrity Wife Swap.
Yeah. And, oh, that was amazing.
And, yes, and it is crazy because the couple that, you know, him and his wife, they get along twice. Great. Okay, he was. I didn't know that.
Oh, no,
but the episode I saw, the other couple have this crazy fight, and at the end of the episode, they're like brawling with each other, and Foley's trying to break it up, you know, talk sense into him, and it's like
at the picnic table. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. It was like whoa.
I like the Ric Flair and Piper family swap thing they did.
Yeah,
the two polar opposite. Yeah. You know,
I feel
of men.
Like they were playing it up. That one almost seemed unreal. The way they were playing up Flair, like I loved
just
it.
Just buying though. Drinks for everybody in the
yeah,
bar.
Yeah,
stuff like
yeah.
that. I don't know if they were really playing it up.
I hope that's Flair.
I think that's pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah, Flair's
buying. Either that or he sold me on the gimmick being real.
I don't even think he knew he was being filmed during those parts. He's like, oh, this is just what I do anyway. What
he
was buying camera
he elbow
here?
Drops okay, the yeah. coasters.
He was buying drinks for people, and then he was asking for someone else's credit card to pay for it.
Who would have thought?
Really?
I think after
oh,
like
yeah, he's
his
TNA.
I think after his eighth divorce, he's like given up on saving money completely and just
oh,
he's,
no,
like, get rid of it as soon as possible.
I'd be yeah. wheeling and dealing, kiss stealing until I'm dead.
Sorry, babe, I'm out of money. You know,
no. IRS can't get you when you're dead.
Speaking of Flair, I got my
very
man.
Nice.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's
yeah.
a hot player.
Oh, that's well done.
I got some Sabu and Cactus Jack and Terry Funk and Bobby Heenan
that
action
is,
going.
Oh,
really
actually
dude,
sick.
Yeah. Tight.
The
nice.
Next one was actually supposed to be that one.
Yeah.
I have Bleeding Demon. Oh, you got Foley right there.
Yep. That was the only one it was supposed to be, and then it spiraled out of control.
Yeah.
You know, I was
thinking about getting Austin 316 at this festival. Me and my merch guy.
Tattitude?
Yeah.
yeah.
I was like, that's
tattitude.
The gnarliest thing I've ever seen.
Get some
get
fucking
Austin
tattitude.
316.
Man, yeah. not to get all religious, but if you want to talk about there not being a god, they gave Bobby Heenan throat cancer. Like, what? Like, the best voice
yeah,
of all
yeah,
time.
It is crazy.
Yeah, but
yeah.
now he has a mustache.
Oh, did he grow?
Was he?
Did he grow yeah. a mustache? Oh, good God.
I didn't know that.
You're huh? not thinking of Paul Orndorff?
How do I?
Nope.
Oh,
Bobby
shit.
Heenan has a mustache.
Heenan was.
Did he get it from Paul Orndorff? Did like, he just grow another one and give Heenan his old one?
Just to outdo Orndorff.
I thought you meant if he grew throat cancer from Paul Orndorff. Yeah. I thought if he caught it from him.
Oh, shit. Thanks. Thanks for that. Yeah. Heenan, best. I mean, got to be top best manager of all time.
No, he's the funniest guy ever. I mean, Vince loved him so much that he gave him his own like late night TV show
yeah.
for a little
prime
while.
And
I mean, Heenan.
Oh, look, it's
Heenan had the most.
Oh, that's
wit,
that smart.
You know? There's one thing I saw Bobby the Brain Heenan do that I love so much. Hacksaw Jim Duggan's in the ring. This is like WCW, like whatever Saturday show they had.
Saturday night or.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was like it was on during the day and it was like in their studio or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And
oh, hey, Worldwide?
Yes, Worldwide.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
so
yeah.
Jim, Nice.
ding, ding, ding.
I lived in a hotel for a month, so.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, Duggan's in the ring, and I think the other announcer, Heenan's also announcing, but the other guy makes kind of a thing about how Hacksaw is, like, really intelligent in the ring. And Heenan starts laughing so hard. And for the rest of the match, he's making things like, oh, yeah, Hacksaw. He's like regular Albert Einstein in there, you know?
Was it Lee Marshall?
Huh?
Was it Lee Marshall doing commentary on that one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
but it was so funny. It's on YouTube, and it's like, it makes me fucking cry laughing every time
they
I took, see it.
They gave Heenan throat cancer, but at least they killed Lee Marshall.
Like, legit, think of Gorilla Monsoon having to work with Bobby Heenan every goddamn night and not pop every single time Bobby said something good.
Would you stop?
Yeah, he always had to. He yeah. always kept that straight.
Would you be serious?
Sitting next to Heenan.
Unless it's Brian Pillman.
Oh, God.
Get the fuck up.
So this is your podcast right here, Neckbreaker Podcast?
Yeah, this is what we do. We drink beers and talk metal. We talk metal with wrestlers, and we talk wrestling
with
metal
people. I like
the
sticker, man. I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, this is pretty rad.
Can I take a couple?
Yeah,
take as many as you want.
Sweet. Well, hell yeah.
Well, I think
I don't care for that, man.
Here's how we can bring here's how we can bring the whole music and wrestling together with my friend Tom over here, who currently writes theme music for WWE.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like the CFO's group. It's like three of us who do all the stuff. Like, I wrote the Seth Rollins theme.
I harassed my girlfriend with that. Yeah. I harass my girlfriend with that pretty much every time I wake up in her bed.
Just let it happen. Just let those
Rollins theme. What else?
I just did the new Sheamus one.
Nice. Kevin Owens.
Yeah, Kevin Owens.
Finn Balor. Yeah, a lot of NXT cats.
Yeah, a lot of NXT. Enzo Amore's.
There was a long
You did the Finn Balor one?
He's the voice at the beginning of the Vaudevillians, right?
Oh, no, actually, I did. There was someone else who worked on that one, and then I did like the reprise of it where they went a little more like honky with it. It used to be really like ominous, and then they wanted something a little more ragtime, so I did the ragtime bit in that.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking you did the voice at the beginning of
Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze.
He's
the best. That dude's money.
Oh, he's so good.
He's ready to be called up. I'm not sure why.
Those goddamn tassels get me every time.
Who's doing Blue Pants' theme?
Oh, that's Kaz, Big Kaz. From what I hear, I don't know that. Probably the best theme like since we've started working.
Why hasn't Breeze been called up? I feel like he's ready to go.
Breeze,
like,
I love
him. Because he's not one of
them. He's in front of him.
He's the one guy that when he's doing his character, I'm not thinking that's a guy playing a character.
Yeah.
He's that dude. He's like, boom, you know. So it's hard to break that, you know, sense of like, I don't know. You're overanalyzing things, he's like cutting a promo or something.
They were just playing Hogan's theme, by the way.
I love that, like when he was off TV for a while, he was just doing these, like, these selfie-style video updates. And, you know, like, because he's at whatever fashion show in Europe or whatever, and whenever he's always billed from like a seasonal residence. Yeah, so like
little things, man.
The last takeover, he comes out in like you know, in all this like very like Egyptian style, like pharaoh type gear, and he's, you know, his seasonal residence is in Cairo, Egypt.
Yeah, that amazing. Rules. Yeah, it's so clever. You know?
Yeah, you know.
Like, who else from NXT should be called up? Who do you think's ready?
Rhino.
Rhino and Samoa Joe are ready for the main
Rhino
roster.
Get Rhino back in there, man.
Liger.
If Rhino's still got a little bit in him, they should be pushing him in the main damn roster. He's
I don't
earned
know if
it.
Rhino would be the same without Paul Heyman sucking his dick on commentary.
Oh, well, Rhino still looks
big. I
need to
know exactly how much he weighs every time
he still goes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Rhino's awesome.
Yeah.
His thighs are like the width of this table we're on right now.
Exactly.
They're massive.
Remember when he gave the Sandman's wife a pile driver off the apron?
Oh, and she's never bumped before. Well, yeah, I'll just pile drive you off.
Yeah, that's safe.
Honestly, I think Blake and Murphy, man. I think they're ready to go.
They're
cheesy as hell, but that's a like really good tag team. Just in the, you know, in how they don't try to shine individually so much like they're about the team.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of
the NXT tag team moves are like that.
Yeah, it's a throwback. It's very nice, you know. But I feel like anybody who you really really love in NXT, like, you're gonna have to deal with Michael Cole and JBL like telling their story on air,
or just talking about John Cena.
Michael
over
Cole
the
making up
match.
The story as he goes along on air.
That's a very
you know, like the vaudevillains are so sick.
Maybe their commentary kills some of their momentum.
Yeah, like the vaudevillains are so sick, but I can just imagine them like walking down the ramp, and JBL is just like, they think they're from the 20s, Maggle. Like,
yeah, and then it's instantly buried. You know,
that was a good JBL.
On the shovel, you know?
Yeah, there's. I mean, maybe Tyler Breeze doesn't want to be called up. Maybe he's like, you know what? I'm going to get fucking buried. I'm going to be working on main event or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
I was really surprised with that whole SummerSlam. I mean, the NXT takeover that he wasn't put over, you know?
Yeah,
I was really surprised by that.
I don't think in that match, though, he needed to go over. Like, I thought that match was fine. He looks a million times better having wrestled Liger to begin with.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he looks great right now, but I was just kind of surprised with the outcome. Like, yeah. It was all good. You know, like,
they could do a rematch and have him go over. I'd have no problem with that.
I get the feeling just wanted to do right by I guess New Japan, who like signed him over, you know, just showing like they were
going
to embarrass
their
talent. I
like that gut he was rocking too.
Who, Liger?
Yeah.
He's as old as The Undertaker, isn't he?
He's in his 50s,
He's in his he's past mid-50s at this point. I'm not going to say late 50s.
I thought he was 52.
I was watching some random Nitro the other day from like early 90s, like 91 or something, and Liger went out there and worked a match and shit. I was like, man.
Was it against Pillman?
The Pillman one on
the very first Nitro match.
Maybe it was.
That's pretty cool. I love his matches with Jericho.
Yeah.
Like you know, the cruiserweight stuff.
Jericho killed it in WCW, man. That was what made.
Did you ever see any of his Jushin Liger versus Dark Liger, where he was like the evil Jushin Liger and he had like.
No, that sounds cool though. Yeah,
it was like a silver outfit of Jushin Liger, so, and he had the blonde hair, so it was like, you know, good versus evil Liger.
That wasn't that one night only thing, right? What did he do once?
That was in Japan.
That was super. Oh, damn it! He had another gimmick that
Super
Jericho did
Dragon.
One night. Not Super Dragon, but
I know.
You know what I mean.
It might have been Super Liger.
But he's the best.
Bummer. Man. It's raining. Bummer.
Oh yeah, it just rained. Yeah.
Not our problem.
Yeah. You guys are chilled.
We're in the tenta.
I got to play electronic equipment and like deal with wires and electricity
and wind. All that
more metal than an umbrella,
wind.
Man. Just like
it's mostly metal.
Mostly metal.
Iron Reagan goes on about 7, and Cannabis Corpse plays right after at like 7:55.
It's supposed to stop by then, I think.
Sweet.
Good job on consecutive sets, though. That's gonna be pretty.
Dude,
how are you gonna feel about
up,
that,
man? The sweat will blend with the rain nicely.
Well, there was supposed to be a band between us, which would have been awesome.
Right.
Give me a second to kind of like get my shit together.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be like shred, shred, shred. Shred, shred, shred.
Shred, 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 beer. Shred, 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 beer.
Yeah. Rinse and repeat.
Beer, 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 shred. Beer,
shred, beer,
beer.
Repeat.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
The beer conqueror.
You mind if I shill some shit on your show?
Oh,
that's the end of our show. Yeah, because I'm sure this band's going to be playing right now, and
it's a great band.
You won't be able to hear. So, yes, Iron Reagan.
Iron Reagan, Worse Than Dead, Relapse Records, Cannabis Corpse, From Wisdom to Bake, Seasons of Mist Records. Also just did 6 Feet Under, Crypt of the Devil on Metal Blade Records. And, of course, as always, Municipal Waste, which can be found on Nuclear Blast Records. Check it all out.
Google that shit. We're not going to play your songs on here. We don't do that. We'd rather just talk to people about wrestling and metal.
We get sued at that point because those are real songs.
Well, Metallica S&M is playing in the background of all of our recordings, so who cares?
Yeah.
Guys, this was awesome. If at any point in the weekend you just want to have some beers and talk more wrestling, just grab a mic. Legit.
Sounds very fair.
You can talk about yourselves. You can talk about the day.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You listen to podcasts.
What?
Albums?
What?
Radio shows?
What?
GPS directions?
What?
And just about everything else. But why not listen to audiobooks? But where do you even get them?
You should start today with Audible. They have over 150,000 audiobooks with plenty of metal and wrestling titles too, and they're all compatible with your mobile devices.
For a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial, visit audibletrial.com/neckbreaker. That's audibletrial.com/neckbreaker. If you're smart enough to download and understand podcasts, I'm willing to bet that you already use Amazon to make most of your purchases.
But wait, before you buy
Micro Machines,
support this podcast by visiting neckbreaker.net first and clicking the big Amazon logo on the right-hand column.
This button brings you to the standard Amazon site and you pay the same low, low prices, but we just get a small cut of the sale from Amazon to help cover our show expenses. So definitely visit neckbreaker.net first before any of your drunken random Amazon purchases.
Of course we have drums in the background. Why wouldn't we? We are here at Full Terror Assault, deep in the woods of Illinois with no Wi-Fi, no cell service. So if you haven't been seeing our updates during this, it's because there's no goddamn service out here. John and Chris, welcome
Hello.
Back.
Hello.
Hi, back it's to good you. To be back.
We,
it's day two.
We're day two here at Full
They're
Terror
They're still
Assault.
Playing
nice
fucking
setup.
S&M, too.
Yeah, this audio guy.
I heard him playing Fear this morning when they were doing sound checks.
Oh, yeah, they were. Yeah, so maybe his son took over or something. Or
yeah.
Dad walked away for a while. Stopped playing the old fart music.
It started off
Fear
so promising.
Fear's from the 70s and Dream Theater's from the 90s, so it might have been the other way around. Like, my son's a faggot. Let's listen to something cool.
Yeah, right. So, John, Chris, and I, this is day two of Full Terror Assault. We've been interviewing bands all day yesterday, and we have a full day coming up here today. This is our first panel, though. Little mic check action. What we're going to do is our very popular Metal Archives album game. And Chris,
a little one-on-one sesh.
Yeah, a little three-way here just to figure out what's going on. We came up with these at the bar before we arrived. So each of these albums, as you guys know, have been given an average score out of 100% by acclaimed critics, basement elitists, etc.
Basement idiots.
Your mom. Whoever has the...
My mother did not.
Your mom may have participated.
May have.
Okay, slight may. Whoever has the closest guess to the actual rating without going over gets 1 point. If you nail it right on, you get 5, which pretty much seals the deal for the game. You know how this game works.
Yeah.
So what I think we'll do with the amount of time we have during our session here, I think we'll cut it in half, do about 5 albums, take a little breathing, then we'll come back for 5 more. Let's start from the top. First album that we discussed was, Chris mentioned, Helloween. Rabbit Don't Come Easy? Is that the name of the album?
Yeah.
From the bar, right? Because I've never heard this album.
Why not?
2004 came out.
It's time for a sign.
What do you... So, Helloween, do you think... Is this like a... I mean, it's obviously 11 years ago by this point. How late into their career is this Rabbit Don't Come Easy album?
This is like 2004. I don't know, like 20, 30 years?
20 to 30 years of Helloween. So, like... Yeah. No, that seems a little high. I think Helloween's probably early 80s, right, when they started?
Yeah, it's older than me.
Right. No, I'm just saying that I was just trying to determine how many albums they did before this album.
Oh.
You know where I'm going with that? Yeah. All right, so.
Probably like, you know, 6 or 7, I'm going to guess.
Right. Rabbit Don't Come Easy. I'm going to pass it to John. What do you think Metal Archives gave this album?
85%.
An 85? Okay. And Chris, what do you think Helloween was given?
This isn't their best album. The only people who would listen to it are people who like it, though, or the only people who would take the time to rate it. I'm going to say 52.
Helloween Rabbit Don't Come Easy gets a 66 on Metal Archives, so I think the point goes to Chris.
I plead not familiar on that one.
Entombed Wolverine Blues. John, we listened to this coming over from Kentucky looking for Jim Cornette. And
we did not find him.
No, we didn't find him. We checked
every Wendy's in the state.
Every Sonic, every Wendy's.
Thank you. Fuck you.
Entombed Wolverine Blues came out in 1990.
My Midnight Express merchandise.
Came out in 1993. How many albums have Entombed done?
I'm not 100% sure. The only one I like is Wolverine Blues.
So this is your jam, John. So Wolverine Blues, I've only heard of the band. I didn't hear them until you played this album for me. And fuck you, pin me, pay me. So 1993 and 2, Wolverine Blues. What do you think Metal Archives gave this?
Chris won. He goes first.
Oh, yes,
Chris. I have a number that I'm not going to say regardless of what he says, so...
I think this is another one of those albums that the only people who would bother to rate it are people who like it.
I think you're right.
75.
75 by Chris.
I'm going to say it no matter what, even though it's horribly misplaying this game. 77.
77
That's fine.
By John. Metal Archives gives Wolverine Blues an 85. Very impressive.
Oh, no, I was correctly playing the game. Actually,
you
no.
correctly played that game.
I had that in my head the entire time.
Right.
From the moment I told you let's do that one, I'm like 77.
Definitely so. John's our returning champ, I should say.
I'm not taking offense to it. I've done it before, you know. Yeah.
Well, if I was being a real dick, I would have said 76.
Ooh, that would have been... He gave him a little padding there between his scores.
I gave him one extra point.
Well, yeah, that's a good rule, though, John. Whoever gets the last point should be able to... The Price is Right rules. The last person gets the advantage. In guessing, right?
Yeah, because the person who got the last point should be at a disadvantage.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That makes sense. Okay. Samil, Passage was the album we picked. 1996. I don't know this band.
They're weird European metal.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is.
European metal, like epic European metal, or?
Kind of, yeah.
So what do you think Metal Archives gave this one?
60.
A 60.
Do metal people like this band, and what number?
I don't know. I'm really out to the woods on. I just kind of throw in a band that, like, the most random band I could think of.
Was this?
96.
1996.
So it's 2015. We're talking about it.
What do you?
74.
Think? A 74. Metal Archives gave this album a 95. A 90-freaking-5. So, point goes to John, actually.
Shows what I know.
Rob Halford left a band, I don't know if you ever heard of it, called Judas Priest.
One's that?
They're kind of like Motorhead.
Okay.
Sort of. Not quite Iron Maiden. But. So, Halford left. He left Priest, 90s at some
92?
Point.
92? Yeah.
92. I mean, about a year after Painkiller came out, he's like, fuck it, right? That was the last album for a while, right, for Priest? So, Halford left.
Band's warming up with Agnostic Front.
Oh, yeah, they are. Resurrection. Halford put out a solo album called Resurrection. I believe this is his first solo album after the Priest departure.
This is a tricky one.
Came out in the year... 2000. Oh, shit. A couple of years off, I suppose. Maybe it's his second album. 2000. John, what do you think Metal Archives gave this Halford album?
The thing is it's really good, but it's not Judas Priest, so it's a tricky 62.
62? What do you
think?
It's either
62 or 100.
Have you heard this album?
No, I don't think so. No. I never really got into the solo Halford stuff. I'll say 65.
65. The Metal Archives gave this album a 77.
Wow.
Point to Chris. Point to Chris.
We each got a cheap point.
Yeah. If I only said 77 for all the ones I picked, I would have got 5 points.
I want to say that the band Outkast put out an album called Creator, but really, it's Creator putting out an album called Outkast. 1997. This album came out by Creator. I don't know if this is their best album or most well-known. Again, another band I'm not too familiar with their full discography. Chris, what do you think this one got?
78.
78?
85.
Middle Archives. You guys are both over. They gave this album a 54. So
this is a terrible one, isn't it?
1997, though.
Yeah, I know. I figured all the nerds would have been like, oh, it came out way long ago.
Yo, anything before...
It's so much better.
Anything before 2000 or 1998, anything before then, everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's the old shit, it's good. Nope, 54. A couple more albums left. We're not going to take a break after all. Fuck you, pin me, pay me. Carcass, Surgical Steel, 2013. This is kind of their sort of comeback album, if I'm not mistaken. John, did you buy this on tour, or was that Sean?
Sean did.
Yeah, Sean bought this album on tour. He had no money, and he bought this on tour. So, that was the first day. He's like, yeah, we're going to do this. What's happening?
Hey, happened.
Surgical Steel, what do you think Metal Archives gave this album, Chris?
I went first last time, didn't I?
Yeah, but no one scored.
Oh.
Does that mean I go first? I don't care.
Yeah. I went first twice in a row earlier.
Okay, John, then.
78.
Hey, I'm doing everything else here. 78. Chris, what do you think?
65.
65. Oh, they gave it a 73. Chris gets the point.
Damn.
There's a few points over there. Well, so we're actually We're at 3-2 right now. Chris is 3 points. John's 2 points. Only got a couple more albums left. I think we'll have time before the next band gets going here to Full Terror Assault. We are very hungover and tired, and I'm starving. I want to eat some barbecue soon, so we'll do a few more albums, take a breather. Soulfly put out an album in 2010 called Omen.
Oh, boy.
Soulfly somehow made the cut on Metal Archives. I don't know. I'm surprised they made that cut. Maybe because they got that Sepultura in, and they're like, okay, you got to buy. But they're on. They're on there. So what do you think Soulfly's Omen from 2010 got? I've never heard this album, by the way.
Mark Grizzo is a good guitar player, so don't sell it short, but it's still Soulfly, so 42.
42.
Move on.
Michael Jordan. I like how we both went sports guys there.
Are you doing Michael Jordan?
23.
Return? Okay, thanks.
23.
Soulfly's Omen gets a 30 by Metal Archives. So the point to John, back up, tied up again. 3-3. Did I skip an album? No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That both of us going over might make this interesting, actually.
Oh, okay. That would make it interesting. We'd have to do
it. Because now we have an odd number.
Like a round two or something, yeah. John picked this one at the bar. Again, another band I haven't heard of, but I'm sure it's been on a shuffle very often. Discordance Axis put out Juhu. Juhu?
I can't pronounce any of that shit. They come in DVD cases, I know that.
Juhu, 1997 by Discordance Axis. I hope I'm butchering that and someone's just like, you idiot, you know nothing. Have you heard Discordance Axis?
No, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
John?
51%.
51.
I don't think this goes over well with anyone that doesn't like it.
I was going to say 52, but I'm not going to now.
53.
No.
They put out only a couple albums, right? What's happening, guys?
I'm going to say 40.
A 40. You think you got a 40? Discordance Axis got a 61 on Metal Archives. So point goes to John. Only got two more albums left here. Hey, Josh, how's it going? two albums left. Black Sabbath, Never Say Die, 1978. Metal Archives is very kind to Black Sabbath, I will say. They're always very kind. This is the last Ozzy album, I think.
Before the
before
last
Dio
one.
Jumped on? Or no, what
I
was...
I think so. I think it's the last Ozzy album before the one they just put out.
Chris, I assume you've listened to this album on occasion?
Yeah, Never Say Die.
A couple of times.
88.
80. I tricked you guys. Metal Archives gave this album a 53. You
did
both
trick me
went over.
Gonna go lower, but probably higher than that, though.
And our last album.
I love that Sabbath album. Metal Archives is fucking stupid.
Yeah, fuck them. Queensryche, Tribe. Last album here on Metal Archives album rating game. 2003. I see this smirk on Chris's face. He seems hungover, but I can tell this smirk is he's tricking me. He's trolling me with this album. What are Metal Archives? Or have you heard this album? Is this a terrible Queensryche album?
I have. John gets to go first, though.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Okay.
No, I went first last time.
No, I did.
I did.
I said 88, and you said 80.
I got the last point.
We're alternating. Fine. 4.
A 4. You think the Metal Archives?
I was
going to
say 37.
A 37, John? Yeah. And this is deep into the Queensryche discography at this point. Metal Archives gives this album a 78.
Dude, this is like when they turned into Creed. That was the joke. What are assholes on that fucking site?
They gave Sabbath Never Say Die a 53, but they gave this Queensryche album a 78.
There's only one and a half good Queensryche albums, so fuck off, Metal Archives. John wins again. Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, it wasn't as triumphant as the last time. One-on-one's not as fun as five-on-five.
What, having somebody else? Well, you'd rather have a one-on-one. Yeah, I know what you're going with that. Guys, we're still here at Full Terror Assault. We're going to take a breather. Maybe we'll do another one of these games later on in the weekend. We'll figure out how that goes.
And we'll pick better albums than Queensryche's fucking Tribe.
Hey, you guys
Tribe.
Picked these albums.
No, I was yelling. I was talking about strictly Queensryche's Tribe.
I gotcha. We will.
Like my troll album that I'm like guaranteed sucks. Nope, people like Creed, I guess.
Metal Archives. Maybe they're trolling us.
They were rich.
Well,
moms use Metal Archives too. My mom apparently uses it.
We'll be back.
When you're done with this episode of the Neckbreaker Podcast, you've killed your family and friends and you've turned their teeth into a necklace, take a few minutes and head on over to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. ShiningWizards.com, available on Audioboom, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and much more. ShiningWizards.com. Kill your friends and family, please. Compliments of the Neckbreaker Podcast.
Talking about wrestling, and there's no music playing, so grab a mic. So what about, so Busick got signed, right?
Busick got signed, Ciampa got signed. Someone else got signed the other day.
I was real happy to hear Rick Swann got signed.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. Rick Swann.
He does our bunch, man. They just like cherry picked Evolve, I feel like.
That's what they're doing.
I don't blame them. Why not?
I was just telling them, like, it was about 2-3 weeks ago, I saw Zack Sabre Jr. against Timothy Thatcher for the Evolve title, and it was just magical.
Nice.
Like you said, 40 minutes of chain wrestling had to have been fucking great.
Amazing chain. Like, usually you need those high spots, those, like, diving out of the rings to pop a crowd or whatever, but people were just popping for Zack Sabre, like, getting out of arm bars or anything like that. That was awesome.
Zack Sabre always... He's awesome. He never ceases to amaze me.
He's the biggest like technical phenomenon since Bryan Danielson, like on the Indies. Yeah. He's absolutely incredible. And he's got that really awesome shiny suplex jacket.
Is the PWG arena, is that the ECW arena for 2013, 14, and 15? Like, you always see these clips online. It's just like the old ECW footage. You're like, they're at the arena, They're at the PWG arena now. And you can't even get tickets. So, I mean, they sell out
crazy
like
fast.
60 seconds. It's like a glorified hall.
Bingo hall!
Not even a bingo hall.
Can I be Lawler now? Hey, I'm a bingo hall! That's my Lawler impression. How was it?
Puppies!
John, you didn't grab your chest.
I give that 4 out of 10.
Like I said, you didn't grab wrestling's his puppies awesome a 10 out of 10. Because you didn't. The king married the cat to get the puppies.
John, you didn't.
It's like math. It's very simple math.
That's the sixth time I've told that joke, and you're only the second person that's heard it.
And you didn't,
third person.
You didn't wheeze when you were telling it, either. Sorry, it's a bad Lawler heart attack joke.
It's a bad Lawler heart attack.
Yeah, anybody feel like remotely that Lawler, like, after having a heart attack, like, kind of should have stopped commentating?
Oh, yeah.
Even way before?
I thought he should have stopped commentating before the heart attack.
That week or two after he had the heart attack and he wasn't on Raw was some of the happiest times of my Monday.
I actually don't mind JBL.
Why?
I like having a heel commentator.
Yes, and he is always a heel.
Not always.
They do too much grab-assing, the three of them, for sure. I think that's more of the problem, is that the group of them, they dick around too much. Then, but, like, when he's running straight heel commentating, I like it.
Yeah, it always seems like he's putting it on, though, because it's not really how he feels.
He marks out too hard for John Cena, which is cool, but you're the heel commentator.
It's simple. It's,
I think, the best
good
move
guys and bad guys.
It's for Big Show to retire, man, and jump on commentary.
I've been thinking of a resurrection plan for the Big Show for 2 days now, and here it is.
Yeah, we were shooting on this on the way.
He needs to be in a tag team with someone who gets no offense but takes all of the credit. The answer is Bo Dallas. The Bo Show.
Yes,
absolutely. I can believe in that.
I believe in that too. Because, like, it's kind of got the culty.
I was gonna call him Show Dallas.
Show Dallas.
It's got the culty thing going. So, like, the Big Show will be totally buy-in. He'll do everything that Bo Dallas says. He'll let him take all the credit. It'll be great. And then Bo Dallas can say he took all the credit for everything. And Big Show's just sitting there being cool with it because
he inspired the Big Show.
He inspires the Big Show.
Yeah. Show Dallas versus Enzo and Cash. Or Cass, I mean. Yeah.
That's the worst.
See, I think Show can be good behind the mic. I think he could be good on the commentating table.
And what he also needs to stop doing is other moves that aren't Andre ripoffs. I don't need to see him do a half-ass spear or a crappy dropkick. I want to see him rub his ass on people in the corner.
You want 450 slashes.
So you want a Rikishi knockoff is what you're saying.
I just want him to use his weight.
All right.
He needs to do that, like, half-ass single underhook side slam that Andre did.
Right.
Yeah. Hogan of the screw job thing in 88.
I mean, he's still working like early Andre, who was throwing dropkicks and all that kind of shit, you know?
All right.
That's the same thing.
So the topic that should have been brought up, and you mentioned it right before we started, is John Cena.
Oh, yeah. John Cena.
John Cena.
John Cena. Let's talk about John Cena.
Where
Oh, you want to talk about the best fucking thing ever?
Let's talk about the best thing 2015.
Can we use profanes?
Oh, of course.
Actually, I won't because we're talking about John Cena.
That's highly encouraged. But Cena's work rate, or whatever the fuck you want to call it, in the past year and a half, stellar. Right? Am I wrong?
You're right. That's why I can't wait for him to win the U.S. title back.
Yeah. If you notice, every feud he's had this year has gone loss, win, win, loss, win, win. Yeah. He was the first match, and then he wins all the rest of them.
And I like how he's putting over these newer talents. Yeah.
And then he's beating
them
three
up.
Or four times afterwards.
Yeah.
What he's doing is he's having the Bret Hart 1-2-3 kid match, like, twice a month now.
But not losing,
but the person looks better in the long run. Cesaro is back over again after like what seemed like almost a lost cause, especially after that
when they put him with Heyman.
They fucked everything up.
I didn't like that at all.
There was nothing like Cesaro was never more over after he fucking picked up the hustle loyalty and respected the Big Show over the top rope. It was amazing.
But they ruined his momentum and won another match with Cena, almost like a carbon copy of the other one he had before he got over the first time, and now he's back over again. You don't have to win. You just got to look good.
In 2012, would you have pictured five dudes at least in their 30s praising John Cena? Go back to 2012, 2011, we'd have been like, whatever. But here we are now, after a year and a half of good work rate.
Well, he's not the go-to move anymore.
What do you mean by that?
Let's see how I can put it this way. Sometimes when you put the ball in Michael Jordan's hand, he's going to miss the last shot.
Sometimes.
And when he misses enough last shots in a row, you stop putting it in his hands. But he...
And that's not John Cena at
all.
He makes every shot that he ever takes.
They gave him all the shots. Like, the last time when they gave him the title before he lost to Lesnar, like, really? This is what we're doing again? We're back to this? Like... Because he has good matches, but he doesn't really make anyone else look better. Yeah, I guess I take that back. No, I was talking about before.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, here's the thing with Cena. He's had there's not a wrestler in any promotion that has had better matches than John Cena in 2015. Like, for sure.
No.
But the reason why he's had such good matches. Or because of his opponents.
Yeah, excellent. You know what I mean? That's kind of what I'm trying to say, but I'm not finding the words.
Yeah, Cesaro made him look great during that match.
I mean, the whole open challenge was probably the best thing that happened.
And Kevin Owens coming in there, or Kevin Steen, I like to call him still. But him coming in was a great move up from the NXT to full roster.
And he gave him the Cena right away, too? It was perfect.
It sucks it kind of fell flat for a little bit, but Owens will be fine.
Oh yeah,
who?
He's just now going after that IC belt though. They planted those seeds.
Who?
That's fine.
Is our next Cena on the current roster?
Who's the next Cena?
You think they're gonna go with Reigns? You think they're actually?
They really, really want to.
I know they really want to, but is it gonna happen?
They're fucking up Ambrose's momentum by trying to piggyback his popularity on
Who's
Reigns.
Who's gonna be the third man though?
The third man. It's Hogan. Hogan was the third man. What are you talking about? It already happened, man. That was 20 years ago.
What are you talking about?
All right. Here's how we do it. Hogan joins New Day.
That is how you save Hogan.
That would undo the whole thing if he just came out laughing with the New Day.
Him as a tag partner with R-Truth would be good.
Yeah. All of these things work.
If New Day's okay with it.
What's up, brother?
Say, yo, prayers.
There is no saving Hogan. He's done.
Your prayers.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He's terrible. But
it's sad.
Is it?
Hey, we grew up with him, you know?
He already did Thunder in Paradise. What else do you need?
That was peak right there. Like, that's all you needed. Was...
Does that mean Nobbs and Beefcake and Jimmy Hart and all his friends
are
alive?
Well, I know Jimmy Hart's alive. Is Nobbs alive?
Nobbs is still alive. Yeah. I mean,
call back to Coat Hanger Abortion. We interviewed them. We asked them a question. We said, what's the first thing when you think of pro wrestling? Brutus the Barber Beefcake. That was the first thing they think of. Sorry, you mentioned Brutus.
I don't remember what I was talking about.
Brutus is
I think I was just
wrestling.
Naming his friends.
That says a lot about that band, honestly.
Yeah, you had me sold on Brutus.
They love hair. They love haircuts.
That they have short hair, yeah, and they love it.
No, he had on hair. Actually, it was kind of trimmed on the sides.
Yeah,
he's
very well groomed.
Very, very well groomed.
Now that you mention it, it looked like garden shears.
He's a little cutting edges with that gimmick. Only doing that.
Well, it looks like this next band's going to be coming on. We'll be back. We'll have more wrestling panels throughout the day.
Cena rules.
Never give up.
Neckbreaker will always be a free show, but that's because we're covering the expenses. If you really enjoy what you're hearing and want to keep that ship afloat, here's a few easy ways you can help.
Buy some merch at neckbreaker.net. You look good now, but why not look great wearing our shirt?
On your next payday, transfer a few bucks through PayPal to Brian at neckbreaker.net. Every penny goes to our server costs.
Click the ads you see on neckbreaker.net. They're geared towards metalheads and wrestling fans, and they certainly help us pay those gimmicks they send us in the mail called bills.
And finally, be sure to check out all our friends and sponsors at neckbreaker.net/sponsors. They help spread the word on Neckbreaker, and we enjoy returning the favor. Thanks again, and cheers.
We have the dudes from Black Fast. What are you guys' names?
Ross.
I'm Trevor.
Thanks for being on Neckbreaker here. We talk half heavy metal, half pro wrestling. I don't know if you guys are old school wrestling fans, maybe.
Used to be in the day.
Yeah.
Old school 90s.
You gotta speak up, man.
Oh, give me in the day. Like, what wrestlers are you familiar with?
Like Papa Shango.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone who prefaces it that they don't only remember from back in the day, they always pick like an obscure one out.
That's awesome. We had Beefcake earlier today. Papa Shango.
Superfly.
Yeah, Superfly.
The classics, really.
Yes.
Hurricane and Typhoon. Natural disasters.
Road Warriors.
Road Warriors. Yeah.
You know
what were the other guys called? Not the Road Warrior guys, but the similar ones.
Demolition.
Demolition.
They were spikes and shit.
I'm sticking around like the Big Show.
You just won't go away, will you? No, I'm just fucking with you.
How you doing?
We're doing great.
We're doing all right. We're talking about awesome. Jimmy Snuka. We're talking about.
He's innocent. What? He's innocent. I swear.
Yeah.
Only because he can't speak really good English.
Not only that. Not only Hacksaw, who's the guy? Jake the Snake. Whatever happened to Jake the Snake?
Jake the Snake is...
Jake the Snake rehabilitated himself with DDP yoga.
I did it for 2 weeks.
He stays away from the GMOs and the sugars.
I did it for that long, too. Yeah.
Well. Then I remembered I love cigarettes.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
I have no ceilings.
Yep.
He'd cut people's hair.
Yeah. Brutus Barber references all day long.
Beefcake! Barber!
So, all right, so we're here with
through
the dude.
The Thunder in Paradise window.
I don't know where the other two of us are.
Oh, that's
so cool.
Oh, that's their problem. We're drinking. They're out doing other shit.
Yeah.
So Black Fast,
we were here. They're not.
If no one's heard of you guys, what song would you have someone listen to first to get the best grasp of Black Fast?
Maybe it's strange
to propagate the void. Maybe.
Sure, that'll be a good one.
That's our single. That's good song. It's a little bit of
it's got a little bit of everything.
A little
in
bit
there.
Of everything that we kind of do wrapped up in one song.
Like so. It's a short term. Everyone's got like the smallest attention span now, so you have to be like, here's one song that's us, and then hopefully you buy all of our other shit too. Right on.
Yeah.
How long you guys been playing out for now?
Band?
Yeah.
5.5, 6 years?
Like 6 years.
Yeah, going on 6 years probably, yeah.
So you've played a shitload of shows at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never give up, good lord.
But nobody knows who we are. It's awesome.
That's their problem. Fuck them.
People are sorry.
Our audience is going to know who you are now.
Yeah. We'll get you guys over.
It's very cool.
We were back here during your set, but we were listening to you guys. Who was doing the stage banter?
Aaron, our vocalist.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's only one mic. Yeah. You know?
Just, yeah, right.
Yeah, he gets to do whatever he wants. That's great.
You guys apparently have copies of CDs in the van. Is that what
we do?
Yeah.
Do they have barcodes?
They do have barcodes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're the real deal. Yeah. They're now over here. We actually got our merch booth set up, but
yeah, we came and we had like an hour and we were just like, then load. No warm up. No nothing.
He had us going. We appreciate it. I felt like shit earlier today.
Oh, we do too.
Yeah, so, you know, it got me going.
We hear a lot of bands.
We had to give him a little bit of coffee, get him going.
Blackfest. Blackfest for fans of Death and John Cena.
Thank you.
We're still putting Cena over. He needs the rub.
I like one of those things.
And their names.
You'll let our audience determine which one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so, I mean, we've been hearing a lot of bands. This is our second day. A lot of bands are here, but the stage banter with what you guys are doing, I mean, there's a lot of bands. It's just background noise, but we actually turned around to watch from a distance, watch your set. So it's awesome. Take that for what it is. I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult to everyone else, but
at the end of the day, we're just friends, and yeah, we'll just absolutely. Do, you know, yeah. It's like not even about, I mean, there it is definitely about the music.
Yeah,
but
right.
I mean, like, I love playing with these guys. We're all great
yeah,
friends,
but there's,
you know.
Wait,
so
exactly.
Anything
there
goes.
Be,
there's no rules.
Playing
there's
in a metal rules. Band isn't super serious business.
No, and there should be no separation. You know, we like to, like, if we can, like, fuck when there's a band on stage and there's separation between the band and the crowd. Like,
yeah,
we're all just people, you know?
That's
and,
true.
And, yeah, we play heavy metal, but that doesn't mean that we have to be, like, straight-faced all the time and looking
serious,
angry, you know?
Serious,
like,
serious.
I yell on stage and laugh, and Aaron spits on people, and,
it
you
helps,
know, we have a good time.
It helps the audience to see, like, you guys having fun, man.
This yeah, is absolutely. Where pro wrestling and metal, like, they it's still an audience, and they, if it doesn't look like you're having fun in it's the true. Ring or on stage, the audience knows right away, like,
this
is bullshit.
Five beautiful baby... Four beautiful baby faces on stage, and...
White meat baby faces.
He's just buried somebody. Or there's four band members, you. Right? Okay.
I thought you just... I have a very large beard. I don't think I have a baby face.
No.
Yeah, that's not what my mom tells me.
Maybe I do. I don't know.
You're so handsome.
Good,
it's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside
sir,
that we
look
can
like
see.
You look like a bearded baby. Like, all right.
White meat, bearded baby face. Kind of brown and scraggly, but it's very
Daniel
relatable.
Daniel Bryan. There we go.
Let me step back. So you guys played a shitload of shows in about 6 years. You have to have a show that's one of your favorites and one of your least favorites.
Oh, man.
Favorites want to go back to the day-old basement?
Oh, hope you don't mind.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
we can take it
cool.
back to that.
There's been a lot of really, really good shows.
I mean, I'm talking, like, not even really, like, nice-looking venues or anything. I'm talking, like, favorite show.
Yeah.
Right?
Your
yeah.
Every band has a show. It's like, that show fucking killed it. That was the best.
Probably, like... There was a basement that I grew up in that had, like, DIY shows that when we started getting... Like, started all that stuff, you know. We go play there. We played the last show there. There's just like a ton of people there, a lot of college kids and stuff looking for stuff to
those,
do.
Those
the stage was all
shows
wobbly.
They had that smell like, to them.
Yeah,
oh,
like,
yeah.
There was actually a couple people that like greased themselves up in baby oil and got in the mosh pit and were just like
really
the usual,
madness.
You know?
Yeah, and like, the stage was like built on like milk crates. You know?
Not milk crates, but the...
Were they shimmering in the basement
shipping
lights?
Shipping crates or
shipping
whatever,
crates,
right?
Yeah. And it was wobbling, and it was nasty.
Sometimes those are the fun shows.
The basement yeah, shows I mean, are always my favorite shows.
Yeah. We've had a bunch of amazing
we'll
shows,
all,
but we,
you know?
Yeah.
We tend to enjoy them. The shows that are just absolute madness.
Party.
You know, we like it to be just, you know, black and dingy and just dirty
and fast.
Grimy, you know? Yeah, yeah. And yeah. Those are fun, you know?
So, I mean, that's when the people. Are
I
like,
do appreciate good sound, though.
I do, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you play yeah, that. You play that show right after the basement show. You're like, oh boy.
Yeah. But don't get us wrong. We enjoy the big stuff and yeah. nice sound and everything too.
You play enough of those shows where like there's like 15 people kind of staring at you. You sound great, but no one cares. Like I kind of miss the basement a little bit. You
yeah.
gotta go back to the basement. Yeah. It's like drinking. It's like drinking a King Cobra.
Yeah.
It's not an everyday thing, but every once in a while, it's exactly what you need.
Right. Yep.
Smooth.
I'm down with that.
And filling. So, but you have to have a war show then. There's got to be a show, and you don't have to bury anybody, but can you think of a show that where fucking everything went wrong?
Our Cedar Elise show that we did. And
oh, that's a show you don't want it to happen either, right? Of course.
Yeah, but it was actually really cool. Like, oh, what went wrong? I'm sorry.
Yeah, like
oh.
the like worst. Like, there's got to be a
oh,
show.
Oh, the worst show.
That's what threw me off. I was like, oh, your CD release show
yeah,
was your
was
worst
terrible.
Show?
That was a good show. That was a good show.
That's got to be a show. It's like just dog shit, you know? Like,
I don't know, man.
Worst,
like,
worst stage or worst sound? I would take worst sound over worst stage because sound really bugs me sometimes because we play in like a room, like with ourselves. You know, so we can hear each other on stage, hopefully.
Right.
But when people start pumping weird shit in the monitors. And, like, there's latency and delay and stuff coming at you, and you're going, what the hell? We might fold. This might be it. This might
but
be
we
it.
Right, right.
Yeah, but then we don't.
But
that's
we don't.
I mean, worst show. I mean, we've played multiple shows.
Anna, dude.
Maybe. We've played a lot of shows where the sound wasn't great and things have gone wrong, but, you know, you roll with the punches and we move on, and that's kind of half the fun.
It's exactly.
Just dealing with it. So, like, I don't know if we actually have a worst show. There's definitely been nights that are better than others, but...
It's like Aaron said at that Evansville show. He goes, looks like it's going to be a punk rock show tonight, boys.
when everything's going wrong, just fuck it and play your tunes and have fun, you know?
Where we
the worst show is still a show, and that's still kind of awesome.
And we still have fun, you know? Yeah. Roll with the punches and make the best of the situation, you know?
We ask the same questions to all the bands, and most of the people have a worst show immediately. Like, that's the first where they know the worst show ever.
Not here, actually. Everyone's maybe it's just a New England thing where everyone fucking hates the world.
Fuck everything. What's
no one's really had a worse show of anyone we've talked to here.
We only had a couple of questions left.
There's plenty of them.
What are you guys listening to in your van right now?
Mostly silence.
Yeah, we do a lot of silence. Which is nice.
That's the best tour van.
A lot of silence. When we do listen to music, a lot of times it'll be metal? Like jazz or like old school hip hop or not very much metal. We do listen from time to time. We'll throw in like, you know, we're on the road. A lot of bands give us CDs. We'll throw in their stuff. Check it out. But a lot of silence. Old school hip hop.
You want the opposite of what you're hearing all day long
jazz,
at a festival.
Yeah, a lot
you
of jazz. Like, classical music. Yeah,
exactly.
We are broken people.
Yeah. Are there any?
We don't need anything else other than help.
A little bit of Bach. A little bit of.
Other than like 2 decades worth of therapy.
Right.
We don't need anything.
Herbie Hancock, and then
yeah,
maybe a few AA meetings.
I like some Herbie Hancock.
This is the kind of the way to ask the influences question, but are there any bands that you would love to go on tour with?
Say that again?
Any bands that you'd like to tour with? What bands would you guys love to tour with?
Well, I can tell you what's kind of coming, which are bands that I would like to tour with, right? Can we? I don't know. No, maybe we can't. Sorry.
I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot of bands I'd love to tour with.
That's okay.
Well, the weird thing is
you don't have to
it just rhymes with cack blabbeth.
No, but like we just toured with Goat Whore before this tour. That was awesome.
That was cool.
I'd love to go out with them guys again.
Goat Whore, yep.
But you know, I'm
like, man, if you could just book a tour and like if you had full control, you could say book any band that you want with you guys and they'll do it.
Legendary badass bands.
I'd love to tour with like Creator or fucking
Creator. There you go.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
Opeth. I mean, they're
that'd
like.
That'd be cool. I mean, what?
I don't know.
Really, whatever. I'd like to tour with our boys.
We don't really have an option at this
dudes.
Point in time. Basically, we're gonna do whatever we can.
We're fantasy booking it. I get it. Yeah, but I'm just. It's a nice way to figure out bands are kind of in your ballpark, and you know. So what's I know we got another band coming up here at Full Terror Assault. I wish I knew the lineup, but the lineup's been fucking changed 40 times over. So Blackfast, what's coming up for you guys? Any recordings, tours, stuff like that? Anything you want to push?
We're on tour right now with Revocation, Cannabis Corpse, and Archspire.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it's been awesome. We've been out with them for I guess a week today. We started in New York. We're here now. We're in Texas tomorrow. Doing Texas and Arizona, New Mexico, West Coast, doing some Canada dates. That tour ends October 3rd in Boston.
Oh, good shit.
Where in Boston, do you know?
I can tell you. I got a thing.
Yeah. Brighton Music
I got my
Hall,
first
I bet.
At Great Scott.
Oh, Great
okay.
Scott?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're doing that, and then we have some more tours lined up later on after this. That'll be announced later.
Let that come out when it comes out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blackfast, you want to push your websites, your social media, all that jazz?
Website's blackfastmusic.com. We're on Instagram at blackfastofficial. What's the Twitter? Blackfast Metal.
There you go.
Is it Twitter?
You got to remember so many goddamn
handles
now.
Facebook, just Blackfast, yeah.
Google Blackfast.
Absolutely.
Just fucking Google that shit. Guys, let's drink some more beers today, but appreciate you being
absolutely.
On Neckbreaker.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Everybody, thank you.
You came to us yesterday midday while I was day drunk, and you said you're a wrestling fan.
Yes.
What band are you in, first off?
I'm Pete. I'm the singer for Get Ignorant.
Get Ignorant. Where are you guys based out of?
We're from Long Island, New York.
Did you guys drive out? Did you fly?
We drove. We played 3 shows on the way out here, one in Brooklyn, one in Cleveland, and one in Chicago.
Hell yeah.
That's the way to go. A lot of bands kind of like consider this a one-off. It's like, no, fucking play shows on the way there,
yeah,
and then on the way back, right?
Yeah, covers the gas.
Get Ignorant. So I hate to ask the genre question, but what kind of genres are you guys? Like metal, kind of thrash, or what are you guys?
According to our drummer, We are Hydro Party Slam.
Hydro Party Slam.
I'm good.
The way he explains it is that Hydro, because of the appreciation of water-grown marijuana.
Okay.
Party, because we love to drink.
Party, party,
and
party.
And Slam, because that's what happens when...
It's your favorite Onyx song?
Play. Oh, it is. It is. I don't know. Judgment Night's pretty good.
I really went down a path I really can't fulfill. Like, I don't really know a whole lot of Onyx. I just know it's an Onyx song.
Oh, man. How long you guys been playing out for?
We've been playing out just a little under a year. We've gotten some real good opportunities. We've played with Scarhead, Suffocation,
Long Island. That totally makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally. Totally. Suffo all the way. They definitely should be out here next year for this.
Hell yeah.
You know, we were just talking about that 2 days ago. That's the type of band that could probably play a fest like this. I feel like they could have done it. Maybe they're in recording mode or something, but...
Yeah.
Or maybe they're like, fuck it, whatever, you know?
Where'd you play with Scarhead?
In the city, or...? In New Jersey. This promoter in Jersey does a festival called Toxic Fest. Okay. By this dude, Gutter.
Oh, yeah, Gutter Christ, yeah.
Yeah, Gutter Christ, yeah. Him and Schlack put it on.
Yep.
Obviously...
Eat the turnbuckle,
yeah. You guys eat the turnbuckle.
Oh, of course.
You were at the right table. That's such a good... We've played with Ethan Turnbuckle.
Oh, it's incredible. It's like a Nerf version of Bad Luck 13, so I don't think I'm going to die, but I'm thoroughly entertained and there's lots of blood.
It's a PG-13 era of Bad Luck.
It's actually just PG-13 playing music, not rapping anymore.
Oh, I would drop a lot of money on that. All right, so Get Ignorant. You guys have played a bunch of shows. You have to have a show that stands out as one of your best and one of your worst. We've been asking the same questions to everybody, but...
I mean, probably.
You looked at him. Are you in Get Ignorant?
Oh yeah, this is my.
Well, grab a mic. Grab a mic, please.
This is my guitar player, Tom.
Hey Tom,
what's up?
What's happening?
I'm Tom from Get Ignorant. I play guitar.
All right, you're done. You can go home. No, that's all right, we
need. Thank you very much.
Great
interview.
Your
time.
Brian's heel turn.
I'm fucking.
Yeah, I'd say
sounds like Brian's getting ignorant.
Oh,
there it is.
He's just staying ignorant.
Fuck this. Yeah, I'd say our best show, though, for me, was when we opened for Suffocation. That was in Amityville at Revolution, Long Island. That was sick.
Yeah. Was Frank singing, of course?
Of course. Well, both of them. They took turns.
Oh, no shit.
Which apparently that's how the new album's going to be, so.
Oh, sick. Just like a little half and half deal?
I know Frank is like kind of... laying off some of the touring stuff that they want to do, so
best of both worlds.
But he's supportive though, so it's awesome.
Yeah,
he'll do the Northeast shows, and then he's like, no, if you want to do Europe, you do Europe.
Yeah.
He's Tommy Heinsohn.
So if your Suffocation show, Long Island, shit, just everything was right. It's like good crowd, all that shit.
It was great. But I personally, as much as I enjoyed that show, what I feel like the definitive Get Ignorant show was when we played a place called the Meat Locker. In Montclair, New Jersey,
right?
It was our first show with our new drummer Josh, who is a beast, and it definitely is a venue that epitomized Get Ignorant. You know,
is that place a dive?
It's beer-soaked floor, stickers covered on the wall.
It was a Colt 45 party.
You know,
Colt 45 cans everywhere.
You know, people doing lines, places, people smoking things. It was just, and it's just a basement. And the best part about it is it's not even a bad neighborhood. It's just this random, like, sketchy basement in the middle of, like a really, like, upscale, nice suburban
upstate area of Jersey.
No cops?
Our kind of place.
No.
Yeah, it's usually why those places don't work. Exactly. They get evicted or something.
No, you know, I think it was because they, what they do is they run their shows after all the local businesses close.
Okay.
So there's not really anything else going on over there, so there's no one to be like, hey,
we're trying to sell shoes here.
You know, you're scaring away our customers with your crust punks and such.
The old and such. So, all right, so if that's...
We're trying to run a gymboree over here.
So if the Suffocation show was one of your best shows, you got to have a show that was dog shit. Like, everything went
wrong.
The
drizzles.
That's happened.
Long Island, Oakdale?
Yeah, that show was pretty beat.
My least favorite show ever.
Yeah, that was a beat show. Just like,
We played
all
a show.
Gas kids.
We played a show in Oakdale, and the rest of the bands in the bill were, I guess, a bit more aggressive, violent moshers, tough. Well,
right,
and stuff.
All that shit.
Yeah, but these were like young kids that like think they want to prove something, you know, and they
hit like two members' girlfriends, and then
they clocked a couple girls in the face out of nowhere, man. Like can't do
and
that.
And then it was awkward because then when that's we got on stage afterwards, man. They were like, "Oh, you're you know one of the bands that are playing," and now you know, and it was just an awkward, untight situation. It was our last show with our old guitar player and. One of the last shows with an old drummer, so it was just like a bunch of negatives together. But you know?
Everything's falling apart. Yeah, it seems.
So you know when Neckbreaker were half heavy metal, half pro wrestling. When someone says pro wrestling to you, what's the first thing that comes to your brain?
That Vince McMahon wouldn't like me to say that word. I believe it's on the list of bands.
On the list of things not to say. Yeah,
not to say.
Don't look at the camera.
He may be listening right now. Keep it down.
He's a granddaddy. He's a granddaddy.
He doesn't even like that word anymore.
He doesn't like to be. He doesn't know. No one wants him to think of he's old.
He coined the term granddaddy of them all.
JBL
for WrestleMania.
Also says the shit out of the granddaddy of them all. Still, so
yeah, JBL.
Granddaddy of them all.
Vince came up with that.
Wonderful JBL.
You heard about that, right? Vince came up with that term, granddaddy of them all, and now he doesn't want WrestleMania to seem like it's an old fart show, so he doesn't want anybody saying it's the granddaddy of them all.
They call it, like, the biggest extravaganza.
I feel like Vince is, like, one of the most, like, amazing yet self-destructive human beings out there.
That's a good way to put it.
He's like, I now own everything in wrestling that people care about. And then he's like, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to push Roman Reigns.
Alexander wept because there were no more lands to conquer. Hans Gruber, Die Hard.
You were so low-key about that. I'm going to push Roman Reigns. You know he's like, wow, he's a beast.
Do you know what I don't like most about it? Is that if he was going to push Roman Reigns like that, he hasn't stuck to his guns and done it anyways.
No, yeah, he completely pumped the brakes, and he's just like, maybe next year.
I have to say...
Which is my favorite Reach the Sky song.
Roman Reigns is a 1980s Red Sox team.
In the 90s Red Sox teams and the 70s Red Sox teams.
But I mean, in all honesty, I think probably the thing, and it's funny because I can argue with other people who claim to be big wrestling fans also, and in my mind, if you are a big wrestling fan, then you should not endorse and support The Undertaker continuing to do this, like... Those matches are awful with him and Brock, man. Like, he looks like an old man, like, getting massacred.
Awful?
I thought it was awesome because I'm pretty sure he pissed himself.
Awful's, it's tough to watch. You don't want to watch an older dude taking pretty nasty bumps.
You don't want to see a car crash, but you're going to fucking watch it if you see it.
Of course, the buy rate was through the roof, but you're like, you know, every one of those bumps, you're like, don't hit your head,
that he's wrestling, but he's like, he's going against Lesnar. Like, it can't be like an 8-minute match. He's got to push himself.
I mean, what happened to the good old days when a wrestler got to a point where they couldn't wrestle anymore and they just became the sickest managers?
Right.
Like, can you imagine if The Undertaker...
With the Wyatt family?
Oh, yeah. Was the leader of the Wyatt family just like, you know, like...
Oh, shit.
It would make them seem so much more evil. It would make him look tougher because instead of getting in the ring and not being able to do what he can do, he's such a don at that point where he doesn't have to.
He can cut a good-ass evil promo, yes. Too.
Yeah.
All he does is just fucking jock Stephen King novels.
Right. Let's hold that thought. We're going to get you back on for a wrestling panel we're going to do later on today. What you're talking about.
Nice.
Get Ignorant. I want to plug it before the band starts. Plug your websites and your Facebook and all that.
It's facebook.com/ Get Ignorant.
That's pretty easy.
And our Bandcamp link is on the Facecamp. I mean, the Facebook, where you can get the get a copy of our demo. And we'll be releasing a split album with Cleveland hardcore band Heavyweight within the year. And our full length will be coming out early next year.
And the wrestling cover band?
Kings of the Ring is currently on hiatus, but we haven't been future endeavored yet. So,
okay, excellent.
You just ended that perfectly. We'll be back, guys. Thanks.
Nice.
All right, the episode is wrapped, and now you're asking yourself, what's next? Besides downloading more episodes of your favorite podcast, you should hit up some shows. But where do you get your tickets?
Just Google Click a Ticket. Search their site for some awesome event seats, add them to your cart, and don't forget to enter the promo code NECKBREAKER at checkout for an exclusive 5% discount.
Once again, Google Click a Ticket, add some tickets to your cart, and enter NECKBREAKER for your 5% discount. Your support is greatly appreciated.